Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Jeremy White.
I think everybody knows someone that does this, or
I think I know what you're about to say. And
wears shorts every single day, no matter what.
Yes.
And Joe DiBiase.
Everybody knows someone that does this. They wear shorts 365.
Hypothermia? We're like hypospermia.
Listen, if none of my friends are going to do it, I'm going to be the guy that wears shorts all the time.
I don't fear the cold. The cold fears me.
All situations, except like weddings. You know, at that point, lean into it.
You just got a pair of shorts.
You get to the wedding, the bride. What's going on with your buddy there? Oh, he's a shorts every day guy.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, everybody. Thursday. 2 days from preseason game number one. Olympics still cruising. It's going to rain, though. We got a remnants of a hurricane coming through.
More hurricane remnants.
Yes.
This wasn't a strong hurricane, I don't think.
It's not supposed to be as heavy rain here as other places. Like, it's going to rain, but not as bad.
Okay. Is it going to rain at these preseason games tonight? In New York and New England?
Yeah.
Okay.
That might have some rain.
All right. Both of those games, by the way, tonight at 7. You get some preseason action.
Lions-Giants.
Lions-Giants.
And Patriots.
Patriots and...
Who were they? Were they co-practicing with somebody? I didn't see that.
I didn't see if they were co-practicing. They're playing the Panthers tonight.
Ah,
and that's the game that's on NFL Network. If you're looking for it,
okay.
Patriots -6.5. How do you get to be favored by 6.5 in a preseason game?
You're playing the Panthers.
They're that bad. They're that big a joke.
Would you like Patriots,
though? There's no other spread in the preseason that I've seen that's more than like 3.5.
How'd you feel about taking the Panthers to pick first again, even though they didn't pick because the Bears had their pick?
The Panthers to pick first again.
What have they done to get a lot better? They changed their coach.
Which
that of course can help, but
they got Deontay Johnson.
That's right, and Xavier Legette.
Yeah. That's not a bad receiver core, right? Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen had a good year, and then Xavier Legette. All right. I think the quarterback does nothing for me, though. Like, I don't... What is he supposed to be good at? He went number one overall, and I watch him, and I just think, what happened here? He's really little. He isn't even that mobile. He doesn't have a big arm. Like, what happened? How did he go? Because he was the quarterback of Alabama?
Maybe.
That's why he went first? It behooves me that, I guess, he must have gone first because of his, what? Like, quarterback IQ and, you know, accuracy. Did he get drafted there the same reasons Tua got drafted where he did?
Another Alabama quarterback.
Alabama quarterback that understands the game and is really accurate.
Yeah. Sharp processor is the first thing I'm seeing of, like, we go back. But 5'10".
But 5'10".
Yeah.
Man. And I think it's really light, too, right? Like, he's... What's he listed at? His weight, you look at him, he looks like he's 200 pounds? Okay. So I guess that's not that bad. But he, man, he just looks little when he's out there. So
200 pounds is pretty small for an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Imagining 280-pound guys chasing after you.
If not them, then who? I guess would be my question. Like, I think I kind of like them as a bet to finish last second because the owner dysfunction is all over that organization.
Other candidates would be the Patriots, who they're playing.
Yeah.
We're
favored by 6.5, so
I don't know. Here? Who could be the worst team in football? Who could pick first?
The worst team in football could be the...
I mean, could it all go wrong for a team that doesn't expect to pick first? I mean, Carolina clearly did not expect to pick first because they traded away their first pick and then picked first.
Tennessee
is too good to pick first, and their division is too...
You sure?
Yeah, definitely.
What if Levis is really bad?
Then they'll win 4 games. And then that might pick first. Tennessee's not going to pick first.
They have a lot of veterans.
They do have a lot of veterans. They have a new coach who might be bright, maybe not. It's not a bad answer. Who's going to pick first?
Who's better? Is the Giants a better answer than that?
The Giants. Okay. I think that's tough. Aren't they going to beat the Commanders, at least? Could the Commanders finish with the worst record in football?
Let me ask you, the Giants, who have been featured a lot in they're playing tonight too, and they've on the Hard Knocks. What do you feel good about on the Giants right now, other than Malik Nabers? Anything? He is a standout, apparently. See with Dan Campbell?
They have a pair of pass rushers that are great. Kayvon Thibodeau and right. Brian Burns, who they just traded for.
That's right. Did you hear what Dan Campbell said about Malik Nabers?
No.
That he's got his athleticism. He's a mix of Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson with the mentality of Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
High praise.
I was gonna bring something up about Nabers, and you know, we've been watching Keon Coleman very closely.
Yeah.
I wonder what rookie receiver, because we spent a lot of time with a lot of these guys. And whether it was their skill set or their landing spot, right? Let's run down real quickly what you've been hearing about them. All right, we'll get to Coleman. We know him.
Okay.
Marvin Harrison Jr., what's the report?
As advertised.
The only thing I know about him is his weird thing about how you can't buy his jersey.
I think that ended, though.
Are you sure?
No,
as of
not sure.
As of earlier this week, you couldn't buy his jersey because of some dispute with the NFLPA.
No, never mind. You're right. 3 days ago, there was an article. You still can't buy his jersey.
It's the kind of article that I don't even care to read. Fine. I'm not going to buy it anyway. I don't need to buy it.
Yeah.
So, Marvin Harrison Jr., okay, as advertised. I do think early at the start of camp, we joked about and kind of flirted with the viral catch counter. Who's got the most viral catches? And that can come down to... You know, the caliber of the catch, Coleman had one. Worthy had the one that was a deep shot from Mahomes. Malik Nabers might be the guy that's actually winning that. The guy who I've seen the most, look at this guy, he catches everything, he's amazing. There's also the built-in, if your quarterback stinks and you're awesome, you're going to be elevated even further. And I think Nabers is getting that because no one thinks Daniel Jones is very good.
Nope.
And Nabers, there was one, so if you saw the highlight of... The day where he got in the fight with the Lions cornerback.
Yeah.
Giants reporters were tweeting out stats and said that he had caught 17 of 18 targets.
Yeah.
And the one he didn't catch was the one he got in a fight.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah. He started swinging.
He's either going to catch the ball or he's going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
And that's Odell Beckham's mentality, right? Beckham, who did he fight with? The Panthers?
Was it Josh Norman? They went at it for an entire game.
Yes, yes. Fighting.
Go watch the highlights of that. Just those two back and forth, and it's wild they didn't get suspended for like half a year for some of the things that those two did in that game.
So for better or for worse, when Dan Campbell says the mentality of Odell Beckham, you know, maybe that's a half compliment, maybe it's a full compliment. It depends on, you know, how you view Beckham. But Nabers has been absolutely like off the charts from what I'm seeing. This guy's amazing.
Give him at least one on the viral catch counter, because the one from the joint practice a couple days ago where he zooms up the sideline past the corner and then Daniel Jones puts it behind him and he works back to it in the air and catches it for a touchdown. Like he just, you watch him. He's someone where Coleman has this once the ball is in the air. Once the ball is coming towards him, he has wow, look at that guy. Like, not necessarily to me when he's running. Neighbors, it's when he's running, it's, oh my gosh, look at this guy. And then he jumps in the air 5 feet and catches it. Oh, like, holy, him. So these are practices, but he looks like the real deal.
Yeah. So that's the Neighbors report. Adunze, I was listening to Bulldog yesterday. He had a Bears guest on. And it was Chris Emma, who covers the Bears for the Score in Chicago. What's going on with Adunze? Like, oh, he looks pretty good. We'll see how good he is down the line. But, you know, he's a rookie, and he's behind two other really good established receivers.
Yep.
So there's that. All right, that's Adunze. Fourth receiver off the board was Brian Thomas Jr.
Yes, I don't know if I've heard a single peep about him.
Very little. Yeah. Very little about Brian Thomas Jr.
I haven't gone looking.
No.
But
it's just not jumping out.
Yeah.
All right, then we've got Xavier Worthy. Have seen
lots.
Some good, some bad. Have seen him blow by guys with his speed. Have seen him knocked off his feet because he's small.
That's probably the only bad we've seen, though, right?
Yeah.
Was the one he just got thrown around.
Right. He got bumped at the line and then bumped by a second guy and knocked off his feet. He's 165 pounds, and that's that.
Yeah.
After Worthy comes Ricky Pearsall.
I think he's been hurt.
Haven't heard much.
Yeah.
The biggest thing about him is they must like him enough because they're going to trade Ayuk. Maybe they'll trade Brandon Ayuk.
You know, it's not a good sign when I search Brian Thomas Jr. on Twitter and expect, like, Neighbors, I did this. I just, like, oh, let me search Malik Neighbors on Twitter, and boom, there's seven videos of him at training camp looking good. And I searched Brian Thomas Jr., and I've got, like, one kind of route running practice drill, and then him talking about how he loves snacks. At his media press conference, and that's it.
Okay,
so that's not a good sign. Pearsall has been injured for most of camp.
Okay,
so
after Pearsall is Leggett, or is there one more in between?
No, I think Leggett was next.
Okay, yep. Leggett. Where the Bills traded out again.
Yeah,
Leggett to Carolina. He got hurt. Then comes Keon.
Before that, though, I did see that he was struggling a little bit, and he was running with the twos primarily behind some veteran that wasn't Johnson or Thielen, someone else,
some schlub.
Okay. Yeah.
Then you get to Keon Coleman. Then it's Ladd McConkey.
Yep.
Who?
He's going high in fantasy. I can tell you that.
People think he's going to get fed the football.
Yep.
You know, there's the.
That's because of his situation.
That's
more
right.
Than he's been like, oh, look at Ladd McConkey lighting the lamp. I don't know. Maybe he is having a good camp, but he's getting drafted in fantasy because he's the only show in town.
Yeah. McConkey is going to get fed the ball. Coleman, McConkey. After that, we get to like Jalen Polk.
Okay.
I've seen more highlights of Javon Baker in New England than Jalen Polk.
You know who I'm like looking down the list here? Jalen Polk, Adonai Mitchell.
A little bit. I saw one down the field catch from him in Indianapolis.
Yep. I saw an Indy reporter say he's been better at camp than Alec Pierce, who he's battling with. And then the next two guys are the guys I feel like I've seen the most camp buzz about, which were the first two picks of the third round at receiver. Malachi Corley.
I've seen nothing, so congratulations to you.
I've seen. Maybe this is my fantasy Twitter, whatever. Malachi Corley's gotten buzz at Jets camp, and then Jermaine Burton at Bengals camp.
Okay, I've seen a little bit of Jermaine Burton.
But there those are the only other. And then Jalen McMillan.
Jalen McMillan getting a lot of buzz in Tampa. And again, you like to point out fantasy, the ADP, average draft position, of Jalen McMillan has been on the rise quite a bit.
Yeah.
Like, people are buying in on Jalen McMillan. I had a buddy who sought him out in a trade. Went out and got Jalen McMillan because Baker Mayfield has raved about him.
Yeah.
Says he's a stud. Tampa's a team with a couple of older receivers.
That guy, you're going, I'll take all this in. If I'm acting on things that I'm seeing at camp, like, okay, he's having a good camp. Now I've got to go trade for him. Those are treacherous waters.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit.
Is it any different than drafting him with a fourth round pick in your draft other than you need a receiver, but still.
That's fair.
So looking at all these receivers, Coleman, I don't think his expectations are, depends what you expect. That's what I would get to. It depends what you expect. What do you expect from Coleman? From this season and this offense?
Well, can I compare him to his peers? Would you, again, this is tough because like you don't know what these guys are going to end up with. Would you take right now him being the third, I mean, I feel like actually this isn't even a good question because I think it would have to be yes, right? You would take him being the third best rookie receiver by yardage.
Was he drafted the sixth?
He was drafted as the sixth.
Yeah, sure. I'd take third.
Yeah.
Behind one of the big two or behind some?
Behind Harrison and Neighbors.
The thing
him
about
to beat out Adunze, who's behind two other good guys, and Thomas, yep, who hasn't showed anything, and then Pearsall, who at the moment is behind guys, but he's probably going to take a step up. Well, maybe not. Cooper could go there. And then, so really it becomes, like, the way I just broke that down, I'm not really worried about Thomas because of his situation. Adunze's situation's tough. Like, Coleman and Worthy are the two that, of course, in the trade, they're going to end up maybe being two guys that battle it out for, like, who's going to be the most impressive rookie receiver that's not one of, like, the big two.
Yeah. The thing about Coleman that I... When I say, like, it depends what your expectations are. If you're looking to evaluate him on yards, contribution, by touchdowns, by first downs, then maybe he'll stack up, you know, first, third, who knows? We'll have to see how that plays out. But thinking about, we talked about this with Chris Brown yesterday. Chris Brown, who raved about Coleman's football IQ, saying that's one thing that people don't give him enough credit on. You know, you've got the basketball above the rim potential. There's no doubt his hands, he looks like he's got great hands. He catches everything that comes his way. He's huge. So there's a lot to like there. And on expectations, it depends what you expect. The reason, the main reason that those top three went, and we talked about those top three so much, Harrison, Neighbors, and Adunze, was that all three were said to be true number ones. True, they do it all number one receivers in the league. And that means they run all the routes. I mean, Adunze had a perfect route tree on Matt Harmon's reception perception. He does, yep, everything great. Like, that's a Davante Adams route tree success rate. So the early guys were do everything. Then you had your speed merchants, right? Worthy was one of these. And Troy Franklin was a downfield guy. And even Brian Thomas Jr. was said, yeah, to be a pass, vertical guy. Is there the potential there to be number one? Maybe, maybe not. There were different ideas. Leggett showed some ability as a big, strong target.
Mitchell was the speed and Mitchell, the size, but you just didn't have the numbers.
Yeah, so you had different types of receivers. At the start of the draft, we had the guys that were the true number ones, and then after that it was kind of, I don't want to say role players, but just, you know, good players. Could they blossom into number ones? Possibly. But you don't see that in their game right now. And that's where I think if you want to have a reasonable expectation for Coleman, if you're doing it on yards and contribution, then that's fine. The one thing I would say to not expect, if you're someone out there that thinks he's going to come in and he's going to make people forget about the last guy that left that people like to, you know, say wasn't good anymore, some people do. He's not ever going to be that, I don't think. When you're looking at Coleman at camp, I do not think you see a lot. Again, camp is camp. We'll see what happens in the regular season. Without saying he's like Gabe Davis, because he's not like Gabe Davis. He catches a lot more footballs than Davis.
Yeah.
He's more sure-handed. But one thing that Davis never really offered them was stuff in short area. Davis is not running short routes.
No.
And I don't really see a lot of Keon Coleman doing that this year either. I do not think you're talking about a guy that is going to run a ton of short routes. I mean, could they get him on slants? I guess so. Big bodies. Yesterday, talking about how these receiver rooms can be built. You know, our conversations with whoever it is, like whether it's Sal or Chris Brown or Brandon Bean or along the way. Carl Jones talked about this with us as well. The big body receiver like Mac Hollins. Those guys are going to have their value in their role. But the one thing the Bills are maybe a little short on, and this is where Curtis Samuel comes in, is the true separator in short and tight areas. And if you're looking for Coleman to do everything, mm-hmm, I don't think you'll see him do everything. It's Joe Brady's job to put him in a position to succeed and ask him to do the right things. And now that I'm thinking about it, I was thinking about this yesterday, there are two kinds of Coleman catches I've seen at camp. Two or three. But there are two primarily. One, tall, above the rim, basketball, red zone.
Mm-hmm.
And the other catch he makes all the time at camp is the gauntlet drill. He's running across the formation.
Yeah.
He's running across the field, rather. And he's got good speed, he's got good play speed, a big body, and he catches that ball. There's a couple juggling catches on the sideline. That one's one of his viral catches. And
yep,
a term for those kind of catches can be runway routes, where you give a big airplane room to move. He's not a short area, chop 2 feet and open and create separation, but he can create separation when given some runway. So for my expectation for Coleman, I fully believe he can be good to great at what he does. The idea that he'll become something more than that, without saying it's not going to happen, because who knows, I don't think you should be expecting that in year one at all. The full, no. Complete everything. He's not necessarily the guy that's going to separate in short order, but he can separate if given enough time.
Is that going to feel like enough?
Depends on
if he just does those couple of things well, and like he gets outpaced by a couple of guys on the team. Is that going to feel like that's enough?
It depends. Sure, it can be enough. Because I don't want the shortcomings of, if there are shortcomings of the rest of the room, that's not his fault. He's got his job. If you say that that's not enough because they're missing a couple other things, well, then we get to how they're going to address that, you know, in the future. And that's on the GM or the coordinator and how they built the room. But Coleman is not responsible for the rest of the room. The same way that Diggs is not responsible for the fact that Gabe Davis dropped a lot of balls. And behind Davis last year, they had Hardy and Sherfield. Like, that's not Diggs' fault.
Right.
So for Coleman, I'm confident we're going to get a lot of highlight reel catches. We're going to get good contributions, but I'm making sure I know what I'm asking for him. It's kind of like, if I can make a very loose comparison, what do you expect from the Sabres this year? I'd like them to make the playoffs. Mm. Asking them to win the division, probably a little much. And that's Coleman. What do I need from him? I need the contribution as a role player, as a rookie in this offense. He's got to be there. But asking him to be a number one or a guy that goes off for 1,400, like, that might be a little much to ask.
Is that because it might not be his fault? Is it the Bills though? Like, because as we just like looked through like how all these guys are doing and revisiting like what they were as prospects, Coleman, like, he has these strengths, but he also has these weaknesses that would deter you from expecting him to jump in and say, oh yeah, you guys need a number one. Like, these guys aren't doing their job as much as you thought they would. Don't worry, I got it. Like, he's not going to do that because of some of the shortcomings of his game. But they picked a guy with those shortcomings. They picked a guy that is that type of receiver. And maybe he won't get the blame, but I wonder if the pick or the decision to go with him will get the blame versus, you know, again, this comes down to who was available when they picked. Would it be different? How different would we sound if it was Leggett on this team right now instead of Coleman?
Not that different.
Doesn't have the speed down the field, vertical, run all the routes type of shortcomings that Coleman did.
I don't think it would sound any different, to be totally honest.
Everything you just said, though, about Coleman not being someone that's going to run on the routes and that can do things in short and can also do things over the top. Like, he's got to do these certain things well because that's what he's good at, and the other things he's not good at. Like, you don't know if these other guys are going to be good players, but that was not a problem with half of those receiver prospects like it was with Coleman.
I don't know that I agree with that. I mean, everybody else had their warts. I mean, Leggett's route tree is not pretty. It's not really any better. He's not good against man, not good against press. That's kind of the same thing that was the knock on Coleman coming out. Like, press coverage, you might have a bit of an issue. But, you know, maybe he can be a little bit more of a bully. And it's one thing the Bills are able to do quite a bit, or at least they think they can do, and they've shown to do it from time to time. They polish up some raw prospect into something quite a bit nicer than he is. They've done their pro development, their player development, on a number of their players, and I would imagine they're attempting to do that with Coleman. It is interesting, as we talk about getting ready for preseason game number one, Allen was asked about playing in the preseason, and one thing we've speculated is, well, maybe they'll play him a lot so we can get receiver chemistry, right? Get chemistry with these receivers. Allen said he doesn't know how much he's going to play, and then he said he doesn't think it's necessary. He wants to, but he doesn't think it's necessary. So, you know, where do you come down on that? Josh wants to, but says he doesn't feel like he needs it.
I mean, it's probably not necessary, right?
If it's not necessary, what do I do? On the conversation about chemistry with Coleman, if you're thinking he needs that Saturday, I feel like the quarterback doesn't think he does. Couldn't hurt. Well, unless you get hurt. So anyway, all these receivers, fun to think about. What he could be, what he could become. And how the it really comes down to how they will use him. If you're looking at some of these better offenses, these other offenses in the league that we love to watch, like Tyreek Hill, he does everything to a point, right? Like he's an incredible receiver.
He does mostly everything.
It's mostly speed. Right? Yeah. They're not asking him to, you know, plow through guys. They're not throwing him jump balls. There you go. They're not throwing Tyreek Hill fade patterns because they wouldn't ask him to do that because that's not what his game is. It's all about asking your guys to do the right things. In San Francisco, Deebo and Ayuk are different receivers. They don't ask Ayuk to do the same things that Deebo does, and they don't ask Deebo to do the same things that Ayuk does. So it's about specialization to a point. And for me, the expectation on Coleman comes down to how good they are at getting that right, which is going to be a work in progress.
Yep.
Last day of training camp today. Last day. How about it?
Last day of camp, and then we are right into the preseason pledge.
Yes.
You're into the preseason. I'm going to have a tough time. But maybe by Saturday at 1, I'll have it. I'll have it down. But can I can't do it with specialized, like just for the receivers? No
nope.
Pledge?
Who? Who could you possibly?
All the receivers.
In the entire league?
No, just the Bills. Just the Bills. It's got to be consistent, though.
I'll tell you who the preseason has mattered for so far is Chase Claypool, because he hasn't played. Chase Claypool's not been at practice at all.
Big preseason for K.J. Hamler. That's what I'm saying.
It really might be based on the return game.
Yep.
All right, Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call if you want. 803-0550 on, you know, expectations for Coleman. First look at him in a Bills uniform in a game likely comes on Saturday against the Bears. And Caleb Williams, I don't know if we see DJ Moore or not, but the Bears, the interesting Bears. You can give us a call on any of it if you'd like. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. We also have news out of Cleveland on a stadium, potentially.
Yep.
That is.
Or stadium options.
It's annoying in two different ways. So we'll get to those. Very annoying in two different ways. Carolina, New England tonight, Detroit, and the Giants tonight. Tomorrow, you've got three preseason games, Houston, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Miami, Philly, Baltimore. Off we go into the preseason and hope that nobody gets hurt. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Quartet pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Quincy Hall looked like, is it mine that bird that did that? Just out of nowhere, from way behind, or was that who?
I think maybe it was. Yeah. Mind that bird, or
there was a horse recently that did that.
Was it California Dream or something? Hall though came from like round the. This happened in a different race, the 1500, I think, the day before. Like back to back days, you've had an American who going into the final turn was like fourth or fifth, and then came all the way back to win gold.
Yeah,
Hawker, I think, was the guy the day before that did it. And today, Noah Lyles goes for gold, and you cashed out on Noah Lyles.
He's a big favorite to win that event, the 200. That's his event, the 200. The 200 is cool because it's the 100, except the guys stay at top speed. If you go watch the highlight of Noah Lyles winning the 100,
yeah,
it looks like he's about to take off and fly, and they have to stop
because
he's at 100 meters. He was in dead last after 40. And he starts to really hit top speed. And when they come around the corner, I read a long article. Greg Bishop, I think Sports Illustrated, former classmate of mine at Syracuse, he wrote a piece about the 200 and the strategy involved.
Yeah.
The decisions that when you're running the 200 meter, you are making decisions. Some runners like to push the speed in the turn.
Yeah.
Some like to push it in the straightaway. And I realized like the difference between the 100 and the 200, I do like the 200 more, maybe because it lasts longer. But the coolest thing about the 200, I think, we've watched some of the, you know, the heats, the semis, the quarters, to get to this final event today, is they all start out staggered because they're on the turn, right?
Yeah.
And here they are, and you think you have an idea of who's in first. And then when they come and they hit the straightaway, it's like the college football playoff revealing the standings, right? Here they come around the corner, and boom! There's eight runners in a line. Oh, that guy's winning. I thought he might be winning, but I wasn't sure. And they all turned at the same time, and so-and-so has a two-length lead or whatever. So the 200 gives you that moment where they hit the straight, and it's awesome. And they're running so fast. It's so fast. Do you know the last time you ran as fast as you could? I mean,
as fast like as if I ever, when I ran the fastest I ever have?
I want to say, sure, you could do that, but then you're going back to when you're younger and athletic. I mean, when's the last time that you tapped out your own body's ability to go as fast as you could? It could be yesterday if you ran fast, whether you're trying to catch a bus or you're chased by a bee or a dog or something. Like, when's the last time you ran as fast as you could? Isn't it kind of funny that you have to think about it?
Yeah, because I'm just trying to think when it was. Like, I still could right now. I mean, I'm still in my 20s. I should be able to.
Well, everybody at any time can run as fast as they could.
Okay. Right.
That's what I mean.
Okay, I see.
Physically, as fast as you could run.
Okay. I've probably done something recreational sports-related recently that would qualify, although skating doesn't count for this, right? My legs are moving as fast as they can, but that doesn't count because my feet aren't actually on the ground.
Is it running?
No one would say. No one would say it's running.
Then I would go ahead and say it's not.
All right,
running.
I mean, this I probably have done it since then. But do you remember last year when I told the story of the dog that I chased after?
Yes.
Like someone's dog got off leash, like at the Nyiwanda Park, and a few of us were like chasing it through the neighborhoods. That was me running at full speed for like 5 minutes straight, trying to chase after a dog and not let it get out of sight. So maybe that's a year ago though.
Yeah. We also can't run top speed for 5 minutes. It would have been like 10 seconds within that.
Okay, that's fine.
Because these guys are running the top speed they can.
Okay, there would have been moments in the 5 minutes where I thought, oh, I'm close, up to five speed, and the rest of it is jogging pace, probably.
Right.
Just to make sure you don't
lose looking it. For a dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, 200 final today. Noah Lyles. See if he can win.
I watched a little of the pole vaulting yesterday, the women's pole vaulting. And did you know that they have to they're their own pole vaults? Like their own poles. They travel with them. I was wondering, like, they didn't expand on that.
You check a bag?
How do you travel with that? That thing is like 12 feet long.
I'm gonna go. Yeah, there's got to be a like it screws into pieces.
Okay, and then it goes into a case. You're thinking, and then you check it. Or is it one long pole that goes down like the aisle on the plane?
I'm going to go with definitely not that.
Definitely not that?
Although it is bendy, so you could get it in the door and bend it around. It's not too rigid.
I think people would understand, too. Like, you get on the plane, you go, what is this? There's a pole on the ground. And then someone explains, oh, I'm an Olympic pole vaulter. This is the only way to do it. Like, oh, okay. Like, I would... perfectly acceptable excuse. I'll walk around it.
Pole vaulters travel with 6 to 10 fiberglass or carbon fiber poles that cost up to $1,000 a piece and range from a length of 14 to 17 feet. They carry the poles in long bags that resemble what might look like giant ski bags. Like what you put ski bags.
So they don't. 6 to 10 of these things?
So they don't come in pieces? No. They're sending that thing on the plane fully intact.
6 to 10 of them. Two. He said they bring 6 to 10 of them, and they're how long?
It's like golf clubs, you know?
14 long?
14 to 17 feet.
This looks like the 14er.
That's a lot longer than... That's like two golf club bags
in
one.
Yeah, but you got a bag of them. I'm going to pull out my wedge here.
Right.
But it's like one big bag, and it basically looks like a long bag for one ski.
Is pole vaulting like a sport that they do in high schools?
Yes. No,
it is?
Yes.
Okay, so they're also... going to be traveling around and trying to find a way to travel around with these things, right?
Someone listening right now.
You better have a pickup truck if your kid's a pole vaulter, I think.
Someone listening right now has pole vaulted.
Has done it or like done it like competitively?
Competitively. High school, college. Someone listening right now has done the pole
vault. Has been a pole vaulter.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm confident.
Well, I would love to know about how traveling works. I feel like you would need like a pickup truck or something. If it's 14 feet long, how long's your car?
Put it on your roof.
Imagine riding on the school bus.
It's like a kayak. put it on your roof.
Right. Yeah, walking under the school bus with your 14-foot pole vault.
Why do you think they have the back doors on those buses? Open up the back door, slide it in the aisle, you're good to go.
Yeah. Just seems inconvenient. You're right. They should split in. They should find a way to... Someone should invent a way for them to like be screwed in. That might be dangerous, though, because these things look like they're going to snap every time that they're doing it.
I think the whole idea is that they don't.
They got to snap sometimes, right?
Super rare.
I've seen videos of it.
Josh with a confident nod.
Yeah, I remember seeing videos of it, like of a guy going up and it just breaks when he's halfway up in the air.
I mean, golf clubs break.
Yep. Sometimes over the legs of angry golfers.
Yep.
Yeah, it happened in the 2012 Olympics. Someone snapped their pole.
Is that, you get a do-over? Is that user error?
That's a good question. It's your pole. I think you're on the hook for it.
Yeah.
You brought a faulty pole. Not our fault.
I watched a good chunk of the volleyball yesterday. There's a guy from Hamburg on the U.S. men's volleyball team. I watched the replay. It's one of those scenarios where they're playing Poland, and I was told the outcome but still watched it. And on the list of impressive sports, I mean, a lot of people, while not that many people maybe have pole vaulted, a lot of people have played volleyball, right? You've played volleyball.
Yep.
You played
last night.
Beach volleyball, indoor volleyball. Have you been watching the Olympic volleyball?
Yes.
The Olympic men's volleyball last night, U.S. against Poland, was an awesome match. And the fury with which these dudes spike the ball.
Oh, it's insane.
Every time they would hammer that ball, I would have a reaction in my body like, oh my God, blah! It's like watching a big hit in football on some level. You would just, it is so... powerful.
And how these guys on the other side like dig out the spikes that are going 100 miles an hour.
It's crazy.
To be able to bump it and keep it under control at all is...
Yeah.
That to me is almost as mind-blowing as the serve itself, or the spike itself, is how anyone in the world can keep that thing from hitting the ground.
Yeah, throw your body in front of that thing and pop it up so your guy can do it right back.
Right.
Barry in Rochester, as we connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Hey, Barry.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Hey, I'm a school bus driver, and for these pole vaults, those are usually, I believe they're usually school-owned, and they're transported on the large school buses for each meet. So usually a school thing, a number of athletes will have 2 to 3 buses, and they carry those poles in those bags or those containers on the bus.
Okay. All in the one long length? It's not collapsible?
It's not collapsible.
Okay. Now I want to go down the whole rabbit hole. Thanks, Barry, for the finest. I'm on Amazon, and I can buy a 19-foot pole for $50.
That's it?
Yeah.
Is it cheap?
It's probably not a very good pole vault.
You think that one would break if I tried to tried to do it?
It's probably got some kind of, I mean, we're just idiots right here on a Thursday morning.
Yes.
It's probably got a name. Like the little birdie in badminton is the shuttlecock. Like the pole vaulting pole probably has a name. It's called the, it can't be just called the pole.
It's probably it's probably just the pole.
Then this sport needs to do something. Like, you know, dress it up a little bit. Give it a cool name.
The pole vault pole.
The PVP?
The PVP.
It's called a vaulting pole.
Vaulting pole.
Also, the bags are like $130, and they just look like big
storage bags.
Yeah. Have you ever seen like containers for fishing rods?
Sure.
It just looks like a long version of that.
Okay.
Like a big metal tube.
All right. 803-0550 if you want to chime in on, I mean, this, I guess.
Pole vaulting expertise.
Yeah. How about this? Boy, I got to get you this shirt. You know, in the suggested things, I just searched how much a pole vaulting pole would be.
Yeah.
And there's a shirt with a picture of a person pole vaulting, and it says, if it was easy, they'd call it football.
Yeah, I'll wear that to training camp. Stand on the sidelines with it. Yeah. It's pole vaulting?
It's a pole vaulter.
If it were easy,
they'd call it football.
And it's football, like F-O-O-T. They're not doing this. Isn't soccer.
No, yeah. Just wear that to camp. That's a great idea. Next year, loser of your fantasy football league has to wear that shirt to Bills training camp next year.
That's a tough one.
We'll get a break in. Sal at 7:30. I do want to talk about the Brown Stadium and something related with the Bills Stadium, because a lot of reaction to Cleveland and their finger quotes here. Very, very finger quotes. Plans. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Get some more phone calls in on pole vaulting. Maybe the whole show today should be people calling that have done these, not quite fringe events, but these Olympic events that we don't know a lot about, and just teaching us, oh yeah, here's how discus works. Here's how...
Javelin.
Here's how I started throwing the javelin.
Yeah.
Or the high
bar. Speed climbing.
Yeah. We've got Adam in Buffalo who pole vaulted in high school. Hey, Adam, good morning.
How's it going, guys? I just want to say thanks for taking my call. Big time listener. You guys get me through my workday mornings every day, so thank you for that. Yeah, I pole vaulted in high school, and the poles are kind of specific, just like you guys were saying about golf clubs. The different flex to them is what really allows you and propels you up over the bar at certain heights. And the school I went to, we had a decent amount of poles, and, you know, I started out, I really loved it. I was a gymnast, so it kind of correlated over, but the poles were just really old, and no one was that in it at the time in our school. So we went to a meet one time, and a different school had a couple better poles. And to your point, the poles do come back on the bus. And I gained a new pole that year, broke my PR, but I also broke my wrist. So a little bit of karma in the end.
Adam, let me ask you this. Because I think if someone's watching, you know, track, watching a race, we know you run fast, you train to run fast. What is it about pole vaulting? Is it technique? Is it about, you know, as an idiot, I want to say, like, is there someone that you would watch and say, like, they just have a natural ability? Michael Phelps, his body is more, whatever, built for swimming than some others. Like, what do you see in pole vaulters?
So I couldn't give you a specific pro athlete name who, like, was who we mimicked or who we looked after. But yeah, it's definitely all body position. It's the speed in which you come into the box, which is where the pole plants into, the positioning in which the pole hits in the box so it sits perfectly, and then lastly, your body position going up. One of the craziest drills that we did during pole vaulting was, it was like a leg lift drill where you'd be hanging from a bar and you would bring your toes to the bar, but you're not on a bar, you're hanging from a single rope, like a gym rope, and you would have to bring your legs all the way up overhead and invert yourself. And that is essentially the motion that your body mimics going up and over this bar. It was crazy.
That sounds insane.
That sounds insane.
Yeah, so it was, I just wanted to shed a little bit. That's all I really got. I've been a sports guy all my life. I've done a little bit of everything crazy, but that's my two cents, and I just figured it'd be fun to share with you guys.
Yeah.
Lastly, go Bills. I can't wait for the season, and I think Khalil Shakir is going to have a big year.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Shakir, a big year. I agree with that.
That drill sounds nuts.
So I'm hanging on a rope.
Yes.
With my hands.
And then you're...
like you're going to climb up it. And instead of climbing up it, you pull your body and invert yourself on a rope.
Yes.
Imagine doing all that and then going home and doing like algebra homework. Yeah.
Right, because they're upside down when they go over the... they go over the pole.
All of a sudden, I feel like Adam could wear that shirt that says, if it were easy, they'd call it football. And explain that drill.
Have them do the drill, and then maybe they would actually like, oh, okay, this guy might be onto something.
We'll check in with Sal at 7:30. Last practice of Bills training camp is today. Deion Dawkins left yesterday's practice to attend to a personal matter. So, not injury, personal matter. That's what the report was about Dawkins leaving practice. What did we see at practice yesterday? We stayed the whole time? It was a highlight yesterday. My highlight was MVS dropping another pass. This one was not a, he's wide open, it's in the bread basket, and it went right through the hands. It was a, you'd want a receiver to make that catch.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a little bit of separation. It's to the, kind of to the sideline. He's turning towards the sideline to hit one hand, but within reach. And he dropped it and then clapped his hands and ran back. And I thought, man, he's never been on the team, I think you, I mean, granted, he caught the pass that finished off the Bills against the Chiefs.
His contested catch rate last year was 20%.
That's terrible. His uncontested catch rate might not be that great either.
Yeah. My highlight from camp yesterday, or the most memorable play for me, is DeMar Hamlin punching a football out from James Cook and him fumbling. And thinking to myself, because of what happened last year, like, man, I really hope that the season... We don't get some frustrating end of the season where that guy has the ball in his hands and there's some giant mistake.
Yeah.
Like a drop or a fumble.
I mean, ball security for him, fumbles, okay, Singletary used to have way more.
Singletary did have more. Singletary was the worst in the league in it.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Cook fumbled a couple times, has fumbled a couple times.
It's more drops for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. You know who doesn't drop the ball so far? Knock on wood. Shakir, who Adam mentioned. 803-0550. If you've played one of these Olympic sports that people don't know enough about, want to tell us a little bit, that'd be kind of great today. Why not?
Table tennis.
Today we learned about pole vaulting. Next.
This one everyone's done, though.
Artistic swimming. Next. Steeplechase.
Steeplechase. Equestrian.
We're here to learn. We're here to educate. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Get some more phone calls in on pole vaulting. Maybe the whole show today should be people calling that have done these, not quite fringe events, but these Olympic events that we don't know a lot about, and just teaching us, oh yeah, here's how discus works. Here's how
javelin.
Here's how I started throwing the javelin.
Yeah.
Or the high
speed
bar.
Speed climbing.
Yeah. We've got Adam in Buffalo who pole vaulted in high school. Hey, Adam, good morning.
How's it going, guys? I just want to say thanks for taking my call. Big-time listener. You guys get me through my workday mornings every day, so thank you for that. I pole vaulted in high school, and the poles are kind of specific, just like you guys were saying about golf clubs. The different flex to them is what really allows you and propels you up over the bar at certain heights. And the school I went to, we had a decent amount of poles, and you know, I started out, I really loved it. I was a gymnast, so it kind of correlated over. But the poles were just really old, and no one was that in it at the time in our school. So we went to a meet one time, and a different school had a couple better poles. And to your point, the poles do come back on the bus. And I gained a new pole that year, broke my PR, but I also broke my wrist. So a little bit of karma in the end.
Adam, let me ask you this. Because I think if someone's watching, you know, track, watching a race, we know you run fast, you train to run fast. What is it about pole vaulting? Is it technique? Is it about, you know, as an idiot, I want to say, is there someone that you would watch and say, they just have a natural ability? Michael Phelps, his body is more, whatever, built for swimming than some others. What do you see in pole vaulters?
So I couldn't give you a specific pro athlete name who, was who we mimicked or who we looked after. But yeah, it's definitely all body position. It's the speed in which you come into the box, which is where the pole plants into, the positioning in which the pole hits in the box so it sits perfectly, and then lastly, your body position going up. One of the craziest drills that we did during pole vaulting was, it was like a leg lift drill where you'd be hanging from a bar and you would bring your toes to the bar. But you're not on a bar, you're hanging from a single rope, like a gym rope, and you would have to bring your legs all the way up overhead and invert yourself. And that is essentially the motion that your body mimics going up and over this bar. It was crazy.
That sounds insane.
That sounds insane.
Yeah, so it was, I just wanted to shed a little bit. That's all I really got. I've been a sports guy all my life. I've done a little bit of everything crazy, but that's my 2 cents, and I just figured it'd be fun to share with you guys. But, lastly, go Bills. I can't wait for the season, and I think Khalil Shakir is going to have a big year.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Shakir, big year. I agree with that.
That drill sounds nuts.
That drill sounds nuts. So I'm hanging on a rope.
Yes.
With my hands.
And then you're
you're going to climb up it. And instead of climbing up it, you pull
yourself.
Your body and invert yourself on a rope.
Yes.
Imagine doing all that and then going home and doing algebra homework.
Right, because they're upside down when they go over the pole.
All of a sudden, I feel like Adam could wear that shirt that says, if it were easy, they'd call it football. And explain that drill.
Have them do the drill, and then maybe they would actually okay, this guy might be onto something.
We'll check in with Sal at 7:30. Last practice of Bills training camp is today. Deion Dawkins left yesterday's practice to attend to a personal matter. Not injury. Personal matter. That's what the report was about Dawkins leaving practice. What did we see at practice yesterday? We stayed the whole time? It was a highlight yesterday. Highlight yesterday. Highlight? My highlight was MVS dropping another pass. This one was not a he's wide open, it's in the bread basket, and it went right through the hands. It was a you'd want a receiver to make that catch.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a little bit of separation. It's to the kind of to the sideline. He's turning towards the sideline to hit one hand, but within reach. And he dropped it and then clapped his hands and ran back. And I thought, man, on the team, I think you, I mean, granted, he caught the pass that finished off the Bills against the Chiefs.
His contested catch rate last year was 20%.
That's terrible. 20%. His uncontested catch rate might not be that great either.
Yeah. My highlight from camp yesterday, or the most memorable play for me, is DeMar Hamlin punching a football out from James Cook and him fumbling. And thinking to myself, because of what happened last year, like, man, I really hope that the season... We don't get some frustrating end of the season where that guy has the ball in his hands and there's some giant mistake.
Yeah.
Like a drop or a fumble.
I mean, ball security for him, fumbles, okay, Singletary used to have way more.
Singletary did have more. Singletary was the worst in the league at it.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Cook fumbled a couple times, has fumbled a couple times.
It's more drops for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. You know who doesn't drop the ball so far? Knock on wood. Shakir, who Adam mentioned. 803-0550. If you've played one of these Olympic sports that people don't know enough about, want to tell us a little bit, that'd be kind of great today. Why not?
Table tennis.
Today we learn about pole vaulting. Next.
This one everyone's done, though.
Artistic swimming. Next. Steeplechase.
Steeplechase. Equestrian.
We're here to learn. We're here to educate. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.